Welcome to the End Zone Club podcast, where we have conversations that are designed to push you from walking in your potential to fulfilling your purpose. And you're with your host, Anthony Mitchell. And I'd like to encourage you to like, share, rate, and subscribe to this podcast. Help us get this in the ears of some faithful listeners. And I encourage you not to touch the dial, but to turn the music up, because we're going live in 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
Hello, everyone. This is Andre Truitt, representative for Just Gifted Clothing Brand. If you have individual talent of any kind, we are talking to you. Join this clothing brand that has built a community of people that encourages others to use their gifts and talents. Man, we are the fastest growing brand that you haven't heard of yet. To find out what we're really about, just go to justgiftedclothingbrand.com. Let me spell that out for you. J-U-S-G-I-F-T-E-D clothingbrand.com. One more time for you. J-U-S-G-I-F-T-E-D clothingbrand.com. Talent in any way, you're just gifted.
Boom, chicka, boom, boom. Welcome back to another episode of the Intel Club. Or in case you didn't know, I'll reiterate the fact that we have conversations that are wrapped around things we know now we wish we knew when we were younger. Ha ha ha. And the whole purpose of these conversations is to push you from walking your potential to actually fulfilling your purpose. Hey guys, I'm your host, Anthony Mitchell, and I'm going to be driving today's bus uno solo. I was trying to make that rhyme, which it doesn't, but by myself will I be driving. Unfortunately, it's just me today. You guys have been blessed to hear and tinker with my voice, but before I get too far into today's conversation, I'd like to again reinforce the fact that what podcasting has become, as well as social media presence, everything is algorithmically based. That means that when you like, you share, you rate, you subscribe, or in simple man's terms, you interact with our podcast. What it does is it pushes the content out to more people, and the more people that interact, you guess it. It's like doing Red Rover, send my next guest right over. That's what happens when you interact with this podcast or any form of social media presence that we have. It pushes the positivity to a greater people, so, or amount of people. So if you don't mind, interact, like, share, rate, subscribe, even follow the link. There's a donate button that you yourself can just give a dollar to help us with what we are doing. With that said, guys, I'm getting ready to crank the car. In 2, 3, 1. Oh, that's my futile attempt at sounding like a starting car. But hey, guys, first of all, I want to say thank you guys for the support you have given us through the years. I was recently reminiscing with some friends about the genesis of not even just this podcast, which was an idea that came about during COVID back in 2020. We here at the End Zone Podcast, or End Zone Club Podcast, we're people that are very, very in tune with the community at large. And it's not uncommon that when people see as a whole just how much we do, how much we give, how much we actually have our hands in, the question always arises, why? You know, everybody always wants to know why, and that's very simple. Every Superman, every Batman, every superhero has an origin story that helps you to understand the genesis of that character. It's the same thing with your favorite entertainers. Some of us will get on Google when we see a new name. Maybe there's a movie somebody gives an outstanding performance. For example, I was recently watching a movie called Rebel Moon, which is produced by a guy, or directed by a guy named Zack Snyder, got introduced to Zack Snyder through the Justice League. So because I actually enjoyed the director's cut of Justice League, I wanted to see Rebel Moon when I heard his name was attached to it. And I personally was not disappointed, even though I knew nothing about the Rebel Moon franchise, any of the characters or anything involved. So I had to jump on Google just to do a little bit of searching, just to get a greater understanding for what was going on in the story, which I did feel like they told a good job telling, but I felt like I would have enjoyed it more just having had a pre-relation to the characters. Does that make sense? It's almost like if you know a certain person you love is performing at the Super Bowl, whether or not your team is in the Super Bowl, if, for example, this year, I think the performer was Usher. If you were an Usher fan, you already knew you were watching the halftime show just to watch your favorite person perform because you already had a pre-relation. Well, it's the same thing here. There are some people that have come in at different parts of our journey. And based upon where they are now, we often get the question, why? What's your why for what you do? Well, just rewinding back in time, even before the pandemic hit and we had already been deeply entrenched in the community, we were afraid that because of the COVID restrictions, like, for example, one of the biggest things we do in our community every year, and not just what we house in church, but we do several basketball camps throughout the year. We'll do free baseball camps. But for me, my trademark has been my annual football camp. It's a free camp for kids where we have several NFL alumni that partner with us. But there's a lot of moving parts and pieces that go into making this happen every year. There are a lot of people since we've been having the camp for the last 9 years that have just come in on the end of the camp, but they know nothing about who we really are. So let's just rewind the tape a little bit. Let's go back to around 96, 97. Like most people from my generation, church really provided me with an outlet for learning the tenets of service. I know a lot of people have a very adverse reaction to the idea of church and whatever the case is, but like many people, I gave my first Easter speeches. I learned how to serve. I learned how to give. I learned how to love and treat people based upon the foundation that was given to me in church. From there, we developed a youth ministry at our church where now they were trying to prepare the kids for the next level of leadership. And man, I promise you, every summer, we came from a smaller church. So ironically, a lot of work ethic habits that I have that I got from home were reinforced through church, because if we wanted to do anything as a youth group, which all kids always want to go somewhere during the summertime was first planned basically the winter before. So we were, as a group, we would sit down and we would say all of these grand ideas. You know, kids, if it's not their money they're spending, kids will send you to Greenland, to Paris. They'll send you to Belgium and Amsterdam. Kids have no cap on how they see where they can go. But adults often have to bring it down to reality. So they would give us realistic goals. This is what we can do. This is where we can go. This is how long we can go if everybody pulls their weight and brings this much to the table. So y'all, we would throw out ideas like Baton Rouge, Houston, Dallas, Atlanta. Let's go to Birmingham, Memphis, Tampa, Florida, Busch Gardens, Six Flags, all of the high exciting, high energetic places kids like to go. We would throw it out, and then we would start developing how we were going to do this. And we had local distributors like in our area, right, that wholesaled things like candy, snacks, those sorts of things. So you would have certain kids like myself, my sister, my brothers, some of my friends. Some kids were better in certain areas with working with people. And that was something I learned pretty early. Like, I had a gift of salesmanship. I knew how to present an idea and I knew how to get people involved. So some of us were like top earners with candy. Like every week I would get a duffel bag full of candy, reloaded, and I was out selling my due diligence. That way I could not only raise my portion, but I could do for others. some people weren't good in that areas, or some people's schools had restriction where they couldn't sell candy out of duffel bags. Because, right, what does that look like? But from there, we would do things like car washes. Some of us would even go door to door knocking and asking local companies and businesses for support. From there, I developed the foundation for everything I do, because that, though it were effective for church kids to do in a small town, soon from there, after college, I would branch out, move to a bigger city. And now the main part of my focus isn't just in the church walls. Now there were other opportunities outside of my youth group with people that I didn't know in a territory that I wasn't familiar, to see if what I learned actually is universal. In the church runs a certain way. People are a certain way. There's a culture in most of these places that isn't particularly reflected outside of its four walls. So for me, there was a learning experience, but I was blessed to move from that, from the church realm, into working in places or partnering and doing things with like United Way, Big Brother, Big Sister, Habitat for Humanity. I've worked on about four of those homes by now. And something I do want to say about the humanity experience that the Habitat provides is that I would say everybody, part of the American dream that was sold, I don't really say sold, but that was given to us, everybody wanted to have at one point a white picket fence and their own home. Owning a home is a dream for millions of Americans. However, because of circumstances, some people more than others, that reality sometimes may be a little far-fetched to believe that it might happen. But working with the Habitat for Humanity, sometimes you're just in there doing a volunteering task. Like, you know what? Today, maybe we're hanging sheetrock. Today, maybe we're picking up limbs around the home. Whatever. That's just, it seems like a small task, right? It's just what you're doing to get finished. But fast forward, what happens when you're in that home and the future homeowner comes in and begins to share their story with you? And you've been doing the sheetrock, or you've been painting, or you're sanding the walls or sweeping floors or whatever. And that person that's getting ready to own that home steps in and shares their journey with you. And maybe by tears, you begin to feel their emotion. I've had people actually cry, sharing how excited they were to be moving in this home and to be thankful for what you brought to the table that helped make this possible. Those were the experiences, those heart-to-heart moments where you're interacting with other people that for us brought even a greater sense of community to what we offer. It's in those moments that you start realizing that it's love that's the strongest catalyst. It's the strongest principle in the world that's able to interject, pierce. It's able to tear down any wall. It's able to basically garner support and community greater than hate, greater than, the angst, the prejudices, the separations, political parties, any of that. Love is the one factor that's able to bring it all together. And once you feel genuine love and excitement and happiness and just pride, sense of ownership, those things stick with you, and it's almost addictive. So from that place, begin again to work with youth communities again in the form of outreach director at my new church that I was in. All of these years of experience begin to come in. Now, I've always been a dreamer. I've always been somebody that tries to see more than what people are seeing. So yes, when you go back to us as a youth group, right? I was always that kid that would say something like, where do you want to go? I want to go to South America. Let's go to Italy. Let's everybody get passports. That was the person I was. We'll get maybe to that on another conversation. But because I was a dreamer, some of you guys know I'm an artist. I like to draw. I see details sometimes that other people aren't paying attention to. That's what makes a good artist an artist is they're a great artist. That's what separates artistry, is your ability to pay attention to detail and how you see detail and how you're able to replicate it. So the picture that I saw in my mind, the culture that's been created, all of that has been shaped by having had a military brat experience first, where we've lived several places over the world with a family that comes from a small island in the West Indies, trickled with spending some time down south, and all of this becomes a gumbo pot where now I am kind of like a platypus. I see a little bit of everything, and now bringing it together, that was the vision I had for youth ministry. I wanted to expose kids, expose people, expose communities to the same kind of experiences I had had. I don't even know if that's proper English. But I wanted people to be able to see more. So I wanted to take elements from the community I was in and bring in some diversity to that. What I mean diversity, maybe in your community, all you guys eat is soul food on Sundays. Well, what happens if I give you soul food with a twist? Maybe with some little Mexican on the side, little Korean barbecue on the side, a little stir fry on the side. Doesn't hurt, but it helps you to realize that, you know what, that's not half bad. It's good like that. So all these years, began around 96, 97, working in community. Now I'm almost 30 years. I think that's how that public math works. But almost, just say 20 plus years, have been involved providing and giving back. And the legacy that we have created, I want it to continue to speak for us. Recently was nominated for an Air Force Achievement Medal based on community service. But I promise you, nothing we ever do is about the award dispensation, because they have been so few and far between that if you were to catalog maybe the two times in the 30 plus years that I have been nominated for an award, you would say, if it were just that, it's not worth it. But sometimes I've been driving through communities and I've had kids flagging me down, and I look up, some kid that we had done something for years ago saw me, recognized me, and maybe was going through motions of like proper ways to catch a football as I'm driving by, and I'm smiling because I realize somewhere along the line we've made an impact on that kid's life. Having kids that just graduated from college tag me in a post that says, hey, I want to thank some of the people who helped me along the way. Didn't even realize that some of these kids, we've impacted them the way we have. Again, as I said earlier, it's addictive. What it does is it wants to create a feeling within you to do even more. One reason legacy is important to me, because the work we do now, the day that God sees fit to move the momentum in a different life or a different way or a different capacity, or when it's all said and done, this momentum that we have created now, if this torch isn't passed to somebody else, if maybe, for example, me podcasting hasn't given somebody else an idea to do it, and to not just do it, but to do it better than I did, with more energy, with more clarity, with better diction, with better guests, then my legacy, it's Anthony Mitchell, host of the End Zone Club podcast, will one day be forgotten. I know it sounds crazy, but I can tell, based upon some of the arguments I'm having with some of my younger counterparts, where and when they started enjoying certain amenities they do. Y'all already know where I'm going with this, because as a sports fan like I am, sometimes I like to just create a bond with some of the younger guys. And I found out that sometimes I'll play devil's advocate on a subject just to see where they are. So one hot topic that's always in barbershops, I'm rubbing my hands together maniacally, but one conversation that's always had in barbershops is that everybody wants to know who's the greatest basketball player of all times. Now, when I'm arguing or I'm conversing with a 19-year-old hoop head. Immediately, he's drawn to LeBron James. Now, maybe if he's got an older brother, or maybe if his dad is a certain age, he may have had a little more perspective, and he might include somebody like Kobe Bryant. Now, me on the other side of 40, my bandwidth is a little bigger. I've seen a lot of great, great, skilled, talented basketball players that aren't even argued in the conversation because injury maybe occurred. Something happened that shortened the height of their effectiveness. But when they were in their prime, when they were in their climax, they were as great as anybody we've ever seen. Allen Iverson, Tracy McGrady, right? Larry Bird. These guys were phenomenal ball players up until the time they had injuries. But I'm old enough to not just throw in these asterisks or to throw in that be the devil's advocate all the time. Just speaking with the sense of reality, I'm old enough to have watched Dr. J in the NBA. I'm old enough to have seen Kareem Abdul-Jabbar win a championship. I seen Magic Johnson. I seen Isaiah. I saw a lot of the greats. George Gervin was still in the league when I was watching basketball. So my bandwidth is a little different. And with all things considered, I do think Dr. J does not get the due credit that he deserves for providing the blueprint that Michael Jordan followed. Yes, Michael Jordan was probably, from what we could tell, a more, I don't want to say physical as much as I mean determined player. But Dr. J doesn't have that benefit of being in the conversation because his prime was not spent in the NBA. So during the ABA days, when he was dominating the league, when he was doing routine things that Vince Carter wowed the world with, he was doing it every night. It was not as big because the coverage was different. My bandwidth understands that, and I have a different conversation. But as I'm getting older, now segueing into an interview I was listening to just yesterday, I understand how legacy works. Legacy lives through other people. The work you do here will pass on to somebody else. That's the mark of a good leader. A good leader does not die alone. A good leader does not stop working, and somebody else does not replicate what they were doing and taking it better. The same way Dr. J provided the blueprint, David Thompson provided the blueprint for Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan would in turn take it to a level globally, internationally. He would take the financial aspect of players not making any money and open up the game for everybody to now have the contracts that we see today. That was the mark of his greatness. Kobe saw Mike's greatness, knew it was ticking down, decided to leave school early and not see the college because he wanted to play this guy for himself before he left. That was the champion in him. That was the torch he wanted to carry. And nobody, whether you like him, love him, or indifferent, nobody solidified hard work, determination, dedication, and that same essence that Michael did, like Kobe did. Kobe did pass that on to LeBron. That's what a lot of people don't know, that in 2007, when there was the Redeem Team and Kobe was placed as the leader on that team, he taught that next generation of the Dwayne Wades, the LeBrons, the Chris Pauls, he taught them how champions prepare. And that's what I hope the legacy we create does, because listening to an interview yesterday, segueing a little bit here, Mike Epps was on All the Smoke podcast, and during the podcast, the question came up about him playing Richard Pryor in a biopic role. Now, Richard, during my time, I came at towards the tail end of his career, was known as the funniest man alive. He provided the blueprint for Eddie. Eddie, highest grossing selling stand-up routine of all times, opened the door for the pattern. He's still, right now, though he hasn't done a stand-up in over 30 years, comedians now would all agree he's in their top five of funniest ever. But you see the torch being passed from Eddie to so many others. If you basically look at any comedian, white, black, Mexican, Asian, some of them got something or part of Eddie in what they do. That's just the reality of it. Greatness inspires. Legacy should inspire, whatever your legacy may be. Mike shared something that blew my mind, and it made me really think about this, even shedding a little more light on it. But he was saying that a lot of this generation would not get a chance to see him do the role because somehow things fell apart. He's not going to get a chance to do it. Because he was saying, just talking to a lot of this generation, none of them even know who Richard Pryor is. As funny as he was, all the money he made, that window has now basically closed, and the next thing that's popular is who they know. They know the Mike Epps, the Kevin Harts, the Cat Williams, the Godfreys. They know the Ron Whites. They know because that's what's popular. That's what they're familiar with right now. The Silvermans, the Sandlers, they know that. He was saying that a lot of this generation would go see a Richard Pryor movie because they knew Mike Epps was playing a comedian, not because they knew anything about Richard Pryor. He understood who Pryor was, and he took it to heart playing the role of one of his favorite comedians, but now he was preparing to bridge the gap and to do for this generation what Eddie Murphy had done for him. I think it's important that as we live life, especially as we're getting older, we don't just look at life as a Friday night transaction. What I can get into, where I can party, who I can hang with, what I can drink. Start looking at the bigger picture. Your life is a candle. When you can take from that candle and light somebody else's passion in an area, if you can take your light and shine it on someone else, that opens the door for them to now replicate what you've done. God is truly pleased knowing that you didn't just live for yourself. I wish I had more time to get into this, but I don't. But before I get off of here, I want to just again thank you guys for your support. Thank you guys for being all that you have been for this podcast. Again, like, share, rate, subscribe. But I do of note, just have to briefly say, over the next few months, I may not have many new episodes out because due to military obligations, I have some preoccupations that will be keeping me busy. So when you do hear my voice, have something positive to say, follow the links that are connected to the podcast. And as always, I appreciate you guys, and I thank you for listening to Anthony Mitchell here at the End Zone Club Podcast.